Christ is risen.
Indeed he is risen.
Christos voskresi. Christ is risen.
Indeed he is risen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, on this second Sunday after Pascha. And today the Holy Church celebrates the Apostle Thomas and his encounter with the risen Lord. Well, the Lord was very busy right after his resurrection. He actually appeared, as far as we know, on five different occasions. The first was when he appeared to Mary Magdalene outside the sepulcher and told her to go tell the other disciples that he had risen. And then the second time was when Mary was on her way to do what Jesus told her to do. She encountered Mary, the mother of James, and then they both were going to go tell the disciples, and then the Lord appeared to them right then and there and told them to go tell the disciples about his resurrection. The third time the Lord appeared was to Peter separately, which is recorded in 1 Corinthians 15. The fourth time he appeared was to Luke and Cleopas when they were on the road to Emmaus. And then the fifth appearance of the risen Lord was to the 10 disciples that we just read in the gospel, when he came through the locked doors and said peace unto them. And after showing them the wounds on his hands and feet and side, he asked for something to eat as a way of helping the disciples believe that he was not just a spirit. But the Apostle Thomas, however, was not present on that occasion. Archbishop Averky writes that the passion and death of Christ was particularly difficult and dispiriting to Thomas. He became fixed in the idea that Christ was lost forever. His spiritual depression was so great that he was not with the other disciples on the day of the resurrection. Apparently, he decided that there was no more point of gathering together, since everything had fallen apart, and now every disciple must somehow continue to lead his own separate and individual life. However, after this appearance of Christ to the other 10 disciples, somehow they managed to tell Thomas that the Lord had appeared to them and that he should remain with him, which he did. So exactly 8 days later, on the Sunday after his resurrection, the Lord appeared in exactly the way he had first come to the other disciples, passing through the locked door and saying, "Peace be unto you." Then he immediately turned to Thomas and, you know, knowing that Thomas had these doubts, said, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed." And again, Archbishop Averky notes that the spread of faith of Christ on earth would have been nearly impossible if every person required the same kind of proof for his faith as Thomas did, such as never-ending miracles. Therefore, the Lord blesses those who reach faith with only trust in the witness of the word and trust in the teaching of Christ. This is the best path to faith. Well, many of the Holy Fathers say that the Lord permitted Thomas to be absent and to express his doubts in order to help confirm Christ's resurrection, and which is really for the benefit of the Christians and the generations of Christians who were to follow. St. Nikolai Vlimirovich finds some significance in Christ appearing on the eighth day after his resurrection. He says, perhaps because the number eight signifies the last days. You know, creation was created in 6 days, and on the seventh day God rested. And so the Holy Fathers talk about how whenever there's the number eight, typically, or the eighth day in this case, it's talking about the future age, when Christ will return in his second coming. Okay? And so, as St. Nikolai goes on, he says, "And at that time, the eve of Christ's second coming, when men like Thomas will be very weak in faith, going only by their senses and believing only that which their senses can grasp. For then men will say like Thomas, 'Except we see, we will not believe.' And it will be given to them to see." Well, brothers and sisters, we can all see a little of the doubting Thomas in ourselves and of course, all around us. Was there ever a time when maybe you prayed to God for something that you needed, but God did not answer your prayer in just the way that you expected or in the time frame that you wanted it to happen? And then maybe we had a little moment of doubt. Not that we stopped believing in God necessarily, but maybe a doubt as to whether he was really listening to our prayer or whether we had enough faith to really pray properly. If this has never happened to you, well, then chances are pretty good that either you have already achieved sainthood or that you might not have prayed nearly enough. The message in today's gospel, though, is very a hopeful one for all of us. As it turns out, we do not have to be perfect in order to have faith. Look at these other disciples. We're in good company here. The myrrh-bearing women did not really believe that the Lord had risen. They just wanted to anoint his dead body with the spices. And then when they met the risen Lord and ran to tell the other disciples, what happened? How did the disciples respond? Their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they did not believe them, as it says in the gospel. So even the disciples didn't believe, you know, at first. And then when Christ first appeared to Luke and Cleopas on the road to Emmaus, they also did not believe. And of course, Christ appeared in a different form, so they didn't, you know, he didn't tip his hand right away, you know. So he's saying, oh, what's going on? And they're telling, well, you know, we were disciples, and we were hoping that this guy would be the Messiah, but now he got crucified, and then there are all these rumors that he rose from the dead. We don't really know what to think. And so what does Christ say? Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe. So Luke and Cleopas really didn't believe. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke. So if those guys had a little trouble believing and having perfect faith, what about us? You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't quite put myself in the same category as the apostles, you know, as far as any kind of virtue or anything. So that should be consoling for us. If they even struggled, then of course it's understandable that we might not have perfect faith. But the Lord already knows that we are weak and that our faith is not very strong. And yet he loves us and is willing to strengthen our faith if only we are willing to try. And this image of the apostles gathering together in the locked room is really an image of the church, you know, this gathering together. So when Thomas separated himself from them, this was an image of someone who really doesn't think that they need the church. You know, I've sometimes heard people say, well, I don't need to go to church because, you know, I could just pray in anywhere, you know, or something like that. Well, yeah, that's true. You can pray anywhere, but it's best to pray in church as well. You know, in fact, it's better if you do both. You pray at home and at church. But the point is, we need one another, because when we're together, we're strong. You know, Christ, where two or more are gathered, there am I in the midst of us, right? That's what he said. So and just think, if it wasn't for the assembly of those disciples, if they had all thought just as Thomas did, and they all would have scattered all over the place, who knows? Maybe Thomas never would have come to faith. You know, but the fact is, the apostles hung in there. They stuck together. And this is what got them through these tough times. And so in this season of the resurrection, most holy Lord, we pray that you would heal all of our doubts and strengthen our faith, that we too may proclaim your holy resurrection. Christ is risen.
Amen.